Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. Pete Seeger put these words to music back in 1959, adapted them from the book of Ecclesiastes. The Birds made it into a number one hit in 1965. Not that I remember, mind you, I'm way, 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 way too young for that. I had to Google it. But some of you remember, you know who you are. Turn, turn, turn could also summarize today's gospel lesson from Matthew 18. It teaches us three major turns of the Christian faith and life. Turn and become like children, the first turn. Turn from causing little ones to sin, the second turn. And finally, turn to, not away, from a person who sins against you. Three turns. May God grant us hearing ears and believing hearts as we meditate on these turns today. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's an important turn. Turning implies that the direction you are heading must change. Turning is what you do when you come to a dead end. Turn around. This advice to turn breaks through our natural, law-based ways of thinking and makes us realize that our ways are not God's ways. Turn. And not simply turn 45 degrees or 90 degrees, like to the right or to the left just a little bit, or become more socially conservative or socially liberal, more Democrat or more Republican. Don't just turn just a little bit. Rather, turn 180 degrees. Turn around. Turn back in time and become like children. Children don't know it all. Children know that they make mistakes and that to be safe, they must trust their parents. Children don't earn a place in the family. They are born into it. Children recognize when they get, even when they don't deserve. And that's the point. Before God the Father, turn and become like children. We don't deserve heaven, much less to be called great in heaven. That God grants these things by His grace, through faith in His gift of righteousness that comes in the Savior, Jesus Christ. So turn and become like His brother. To be great, we turn and receive Jesus as He comes to us, crucified and risen for our justification, and teaching us to love one another as He has loved us. However, there's another application for our lives in Matthew 18 when it says, turn and become like children. Martin Luther explained it very well. He said that every day, though he was a learned doctor of theology with advanced degrees from Wittenberg, yet he humbled himself every day and became like a child and recited the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Luther admitted the reason for his daily recitations. These I have not yet mastered. And that very recognition that even the greatest minds on earth cannot master even the simple wisdom of God's word is what made Luther a great reformer and a great master teacher of the faith. Therefore, if you want to be great, humble yourself and become like a child and keep learning your ABCs from the catechism. Receive and recite the faith that God gives us in His Word. You know, life as an adult can be very complicated. There's a million and one blogs and news sources and tweets and e-books and other books, trade journals, the making of which there is no end. But only one thing is really needful, isn't it? As St. Peter once said to people, or to Jesus, when people were abandoning Jesus and going back to their cares of the world, finding Jesus' teachings too hard or too confusing, and Jesus asked them, do you want to go too? And the disciples, Peter representing them, turn and say, "O Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." May we follow suit and turn and become like children, where there is nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn, except to Him who gives us daily breath, gives us His life-giving Spirit, gives us absolution, forgiveness of our sins, gives us His body and His blood to eat and drink underneath the bread and the wine this day. May we turn to Him. On this Labor Day weekend, may we come to Him, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. The second turn from Matthew 18 today is a different kind of turn. We are taught in the Spirit to turn from causing others to sin. This lesson comes with a strict warning too, doesn't it? Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. The key words here, perhaps often overlooked, are little ones who believe in me. Don't cause the little ones who believe in Christ Jesus to sin and stop believing. How do we do that? Well, in Jesus' day, it may have meant that some of the so-called followers of Jesus were teaching children that you can be a believer in God and you can go on making a living from stealing or from prostitution. In our day, it most definitely means that priests and pastors and other Christian leaders should never sexually abuse children, make them feel so guilty that they could never be forgiven, or that they grow up and hate the church where Christ is taught. It may also mean, for all of us, to turn away from the temptation to abuse our Christian freedom. It's wrong to think that we are now forgiven and we can go on sinning and teach others, "Oh, it's okay to sin, it's all right, don't worry, God will later forgive us." In so doing, we make little ones, the young believers, associate Christians with rank hypocrisy. And the result is, later on in life, they reject the faith because of their role models. It's almost as if, and surely we can understand, that God can live with the fact that some won't believe, and He mourns the fact that many won't believe. But if you cause others to fall away by your example or your efforts, then a double curse be upon you. May you drown in the depths of the sea and never be found again. Drowning, of course, is not just a warning for our old sinful flesh, we need to hear it, but it's also a reminder of how we are saved. By drowning, life by drowning in baptism, dying to sin and rising to new life. In essence, all of us, in a certain way, have had that millstone around our neck. And we drowned and died to our old sinful ways, our old sinful self, and now we live in the state of being forgiven, living as new creatures, forgiven by God, always. Even though we sin, we're forgiven through God's sight, through His Son. In Christ, by baptism, we are born as new creatures in the righteousness that comes by faith. So may that faith ever increase, especially in the little ones. Turn and help a child, not to sin, but to believe in Christ Jesus. Teach a child the faith, and you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven, a beloved teacher in the kingdom of God. The third and final turn today in the text applies to what you must do when a brother or sister sins against you. You might recall how earlier on in the gospel in Matthew 5, how Jesus instructs us what we're supposed to do when someone slaps you on the right cheek. What are you supposed to do? You turn to him the other cheek, the left cheek, right? You turn to him. Similarly, that's what we're to do in the text today from Matthew 18. When someone sins against you, we have a responsibility before God to turn to and not away from our neighbor who sins against us. Now, our instinct is to turn away. When we've been slapped, you just want to turn away, get away. When you've been sinned against, hurt, had heard loud things that you shouldn't have heard, whatever it is, our instinct is to go and tell it to somebody else. Go gossip about it. "I've been wronged. My brother sinned against me. What a crime. Let's call CNN. Let's call Fox News. Let's call the authorities. Somebody, let's talk about it. Let's complain about the other person." But our God teaches us that our first duty is to go and tell that person their fault between you and him alone, privately. A private confrontation. It's not easy, but it's the ways of God, who is patient. God here is really looking out for all of us when he made such provisions. Our reputation is constantly under attack. And without a good reputation, it's difficult to receive our daily bread. It's amazing, too, how God loves us that much to give us an opportunity to repent of our wrongs before it goes public and hurts our reputation. Notice in the text that there's a second chance, even if you've been told privately, there's a second chance if you don't repent. When someone refuses to listen to your initial private confrontation, then you're just to bring just one or two other witnesses to help establish every charge on the evidence. You can't say that God doesn't teach his followers to go the extra mile on behalf of sinners. But if still that one doesn't repent, doesn't listen, well then Jesus says he's to be treated like a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, cast him out of the fellowship, especially if he calls himself a Christian, a brother. You can't be comfortable in sin or persistent in sin or stubborn about your sin and yet still be called a brother. A little leaven, Jesus says, leavens the whole lump. There's no place for that in the kingdom of God. And after they have been cast out for the sake of their souls, we pray that they might realize the seriousness of their sin and come back and take responsibility with the rest of us for our sins, which are many. We confess them. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive. And no better advice can we give to them, that which applies also to us, but that they humble themselves and become like children and ask for the mercy of God, our Heavenly Father. Remember the goal. The goal is to turn sinners who trust in idols and from sins that destroy and back to the living God, the Father. Because he did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all and raised him from the dead, so too may we hear these words today and turn and become like children, trusting what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. May we turn away from causing others to sin. And may we turn to, not away from our neighbor who sins against us, but turn to him with the law and the promises of God, that he is ever forgiving, ever loving, ever caring for us in Jesus Christ. For whereas God sought and found us, he also humbly asked his people to seek and save the lost. The others, that others may be truly found, spotless in him on the great day when he returns to judge the living and the dead. May God grant all these turns for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus, who gives us rest. Amen.